As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook. Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I'm blessed to be here in our newest studios at the Irvine Towers. And I have an incredible entrepreneur, a neighbor of mine, so it's near and dear to my heart, Heidi Golage. She is the CEO of JobBot. Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Thank you so much. So excited to be here. Hello, everyone.
All right. So
and one woman. Yes. Woo! Yes.
There we go. Plenty of women in the back.
All right, ladies in the back. Come closer. Come closer,
exactly.
Ladies.
That's a good place to start. Well, JobBot takes technology and it makes human more human. And what I love about your business perspective is your defined singularity of purpose is to make humans more human. And you use technology to do that. It's not to interfere with being human. It's not to take away jobs from people. With technology, you actually are making humans more human by providing value to humans in one of the most fulfilling, passionate, purposeful, and profitable ways, which is finding the right occupation for those people. How exactly is JobBot doing that today with AI?
It's a great question. So we started about 6 years ago. And so I felt that with AI coming, that definitely people will be afraid of robots, afraid of AI, afraid of taking their job. So I just merged the two words together, basically job and robot. So that's JobBot. And so it's like, how can we create more jobs? So we look at what we can use with technology to really assist someone to do a better job instead of replace them. And then we use those algorithms to match people. And then we use a human component to actually interview them and see what's culturally the best fit for them.
So a lot of people think AI is new. And you obviously had some exposure, or you were more interested than interesting to find out that AI was coming. Yeah. And you had a previous situational knowledge and experience in the job market in that space. What was it that tipped you off that AI was coming? And how did you make the leap from AI is coming years ago into it's going to have a major impact on people finding, matching, and getting jobs?
It was interesting because I've always been, I had a company before called CyberCoders and was always in the tech space and then also in the tech and recruitment space. But you could see how things were being built and how exceptional. I mean, imagine like we have 10 million people who've signed up through JobBot.com. So imagine like a human going through 10 million resumes. So we already had like semantic search and ways to use keywords and key terms to find people. But I could see that AI would be revolutionary in that you could use plain language and it could take that plain language and go and find the best people. And it's an interesting thing where you could see like every year AI gets exceptionally better, like exponentially. So it's like whatever we could do right now, imagine a year from now, if you're working with a high school student on AI in terms of their capabilities, it'd be a PhD next year. And the following year, it'd be beyond like human capability.
So interesting about your job, yourself and your career. You're dealing with two biases, inherent biases. One is technology, and you mentioned that that was a inspirational part of what you wanted to do was the people, and I dealt with that in 1992 with the internet. I told a joke earlier that Justice Scalia told me when I presented Westlaw in 1992 to the Supreme Court, he looked, one of the wisest people that I've ever met, looked me in the face and said, "Son, nobody will ever do research on a computer. You need books." So there's an inherent bias in technology. Like the people just don't see it as a hammer. Hammer's a technology, right? It'll build my house, it'll also break it down. But people aren't running around, "The world's gonna end because we have hammers. Everyone's gonna break down their houses." Same thing with AI. But the other inherent bias is one that I'm passionate about because I grew up with a single mom. And she was a victim of intentional and unintentional bias. I didn't even know this when my dad left when I was 5. She couldn't even get a credit card because you needed a man in 1978 to co-sign, 76 to co-sign
Everybody
for,
boo, just
yeah.
boo. Yeah, so yeah, that's okay.
And even today, and so within the context of what you're doing professionally, it actually extracts bias when you're looking at synthesizing data. The data has no bias to it. And
That's
so
right.
when we're matching a job, as an employer, we're taking out our bias because you're just giving me the best candidate.
It's very true. And it's interesting because if you think about, there's such inherent bias. Even if you go on LinkedIn and you're looking for someone that might work at your company, you physically see their picture first, you see their name, you see their spelling of their name. You're already making so many assumptions about this person, even if you don't want to, even if you want to have the most open mind, where the skills are coming last, where AI, the skills come first, but then we narrow it down and then we have a human actually like calling them, building relationships. And the computer can see like aptitude, but it can't diagnose attitude. Like, is this person going to be a culture fit? Are they going to be excited to come to work?
Yeah, it's interesting because the biggest problem that we have in the job industry today is engagement. I always say people don't look at engagement, and over 85, according to Gallup, over eight, just remember this, whenever I have a statistic, 99% of all statistics are made up. So
Is
85% of
this one of
people are
them?
not engaged at work. So that would be like having Tom Brady as your quarterback and him half-assing it the entire game. What are your chances of winning? And I see inherently this engagement is a big issue, but I also see if we get the alignment in the data with the right people in the right job, that they'll be more engaged because there's also an accountability for people hiring that we're picking the people that are actually desiring to be there.
Yeah, it's
And it
interesting. You
starts early,
definitely,
right?
yeah, you want someone who's enthusiastic and excited, but you also want to be a company that makes it worth like spending part of their life with you. They're literally giving you 3 to 5 years of their life. It should be interesting. It should be creative. You should think about their future with you. So like, it's a burden on both sides. It's like, you know, a lot of it you kind of hear where like people aren't engaged anymore, but you know, the companies are maybe not engaging anymore. So it is something that we work with our clients as well to work on culture and positivity, and like, why would someone choose you? What would be of value to them beyond money? Because it is interesting if we get the AI right, you know, people can work for more than just money. They can have like so much more to their career and their life, and like, what are they going to do when they come, and how is it going to look for them, and why should they be engaged versus like factory work where we need 100 people to do the same thing the same way every day.
One of the other things for me that's inspirational about what you do, and coming from the sports side of things, especially being a quarterback factory with Lee Steinberg, was we always would say your skills and knowledge as a quarterback is your basement. So they used to joke around that I played college football here in Los Angeles. I had a huge delta considering where my basement was, but that desire that creates the delta never would we reach like Ryan Leaf, who was one of our clients. His basement was way up here, but if he had my delta, he would probably beat Tom Brady because he was so talented. And so what I see, what's interesting is that it gets the basement right because we want to align. If I wanted to pursue a career as an NFL star, the job bot would have said, "Hey, this is not your guy," right? Because it knows how to
Thanks
evaluate
anyway.
skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
Right, but it can't understand my desire. But when we're looking at the statistical success on both sides, that skills and knowledge evaluation And there's so many pieces of data that have to be synthesized to do that. How do we set the criteria, JobBot, though, to make sure we have alignment with the industry, career, or job that we're presenting with the skills and the knowledge?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we have almost 400 recruiters. So they, when we went to basically hire them, we chose recruiters that were already CEO club level, top 1% of their company. So it'd be like, imagine a firm of all stars. So similarly to a quarterback factory. So like they all come and then they're individual experts. So like, for example, they do all finance and accounting. So they look at a CFO. So they know the skills. So they feed that into our software jacks. Like, these are the main skills they need. This is the background we want. These are the components. Then that goes out through 10 million people through our advertising marketing, I think, brings back and then say, okay, using the AI, these are the 10 people you should talk to. So it just narrows all that down, and those are 10 people. And then that's the human element to narrow that further. But it is interesting because it's not in a vacuum. Like, the AI can't figure it out itself, but it can definitely look at patterns, because if we do 10 CFO jobs this year, it's going to be similar to the 11th. But then you have the human that does like the culture piece.
And to the other side of the fence, which is the prospect, is there any coaching, mentorship on the input of data in order to effectuate a better match?
So we don't do it on the input. They're typically like, imagine someone at home on their phone doing it.
Sure.
But definitely the time, like, okay, we think the AI has chosen you as, let's say, top 10 or top 100 or whatever we're looking at. Then you have like a one-on-one mentor with your JobBot Pro. So those are recruiters that will help them like make sure to get to your interview 10 minutes early. This is what the culture looks like. This is who's important. We like to show them, like, these are the LinkedIn links of everyone you're meeting with, like everything possible, almost like your best friend, like helping you get that job. So anything that they can do, any questions they might have. And in that process, we're also learning about them and what's important to them. We can relate that to the client, because the whole goal is that not only do they just get the job, but that they stay and they're happy with that job.
And in executive searches and job searches, there's different streams of income. What are the main streams of income for JobBot? And are there any additional streams of income that other companies can't utilize because they don't have the technology and the capabilities that you guys have?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I would say there's about 25,000 recruiting firms in the U.S. So just those of you...
And you still can't get a job?
You're working on it. So if you think about that, like, even if you think about getting into an industry that has competition, it's totally fine to choose an industry that's literally as 25,000 competitors. So I never see us as like, we're trying to do something better than this billion-dollar company or this startup, or trying to jump on the bandwagon of whatever anyone else is doing. We're just being the best ourselves. So in terms of income stream, so first is like basic recruiting. There are other recruiting firms, of course, that do it, but no one can do perm at scale like we do. And so perm for us is a direct hire, like it's a permanent position. So we place more people permanently or direct hire with companies than any other company in the U.S. So we have about 15,000 open positions in perm. So again, individually, people can do it, but not at scale. But now we also have JobBot Consulting, which is also... Like, for example, we're doing something with Coca-Cola right now. People have mixed feels about it, but you hear about like Coca-Cola doing ads with AI, and then also looking at the income string of all of their marketing, what brings them ROI, and using AI to go through that. So that's different, where they may give us, say, $1 million, and then we find the technical talent, and then we bring back that. So that's a little different than, I would say, standard recruiting.
Yeah, definitely. And that's pretty cool.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
Understanding the data, you come from a technology background as well, so you have a really interesting ability to have unique data with all of those people. Are there any data plays within the context of JobBot as far as helping companies facilitate where trends are going, where certain skills are for colleges or universities, for programs? I can imagine you have a better understanding of what skills, knowledge, capabilities are valuable today or may be valuable in the future.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, both from ourselves, even internally as a company, but also the clients that we work with. There's so much that we can see about like data and also like how well the person does once they get there and what their background is, as well as we see a lot of data of what are the trends. Like we can see probably 6 months before, you might see it on like a TikTok story, like we can see tech hiring going down, for example, accounting, finance going up, different things will take off. So it's kind of, we're like a leading indicator and a lagging indicator because we can see like, okay, tech jobs are going down, and then we see it going down, but then we also see it picking up. Like we've seen tech picking up in like the last month, but you won't see news about it for maybe a few more months. So that's also good for us, is that we get back to our clients and say like, I know that you guys are holding off on tech, but we can see a lot of pickup, which means these software architects that you've been holding off on will be really hard to get 3 months from now. But if you move now, obviously it's to your advantage. So we do see that. And we also see small companies have the capability of picking up really good talent because they can work remote. So we do coach companies on like, I understand that you love your pizza parties on Fridays, but let's keep an open mind that you could be in Kansas, but you can hire someone out of San Jose and have this incredible tech talent.
Are there campaigns that you can do to help the minorities and help the underrepresented in the perm positions where they may say, look, we want to have more women involved. We want to have more women of color as executives. Is that something it can do on the other side as a positive?
So we do have some companies that have diversity initiatives, but there are things that they can do. Like, for example, at JobBot, like we really look at Does this position, for example, does it need a degree? Because sometimes degrees are more indicative of the generational wealth and how well that you were parented and that you,
or if you had a Jewish mom.
Exactly. You better get that degree. Get
doctor, lawyer, failure.
Exactly. Yes. So
the fetus isn't fully developed till after graduate school.
You need it on the
anybody law. Else have a mom like that? Yeah. Right on.
That's good times. Yeah. So I think that for us, it is interesting about coaching the clients on not just what specific this diversity initiative, but what if all of your hiring took into account different backgrounds and different ways that people get there? We also have noticed sometimes companies are I want 15 plus years experience, and sometimes the technology is 7 years old. So
you're right.
Not sure how we're going to do that, but we're going to try.
The 25-year-old crypto kid.
Exactly.
We want 10 years experience. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, so it is good to be what do you really need? So do you need someone with 2+ years experience so they understand, so you're not training them basics, but you're really looking for that energetic person who's excited to be there. And that person can come from any diverse background and just helping them coach through that, because people do have a tendency to hire people who look like themselves.
Yeah, that's why my company is very ugly. More importantly, I've got all my employees cringing right now.
No, wait a minute.
They don't
look
like me. I don't do the hiring. I let Colleen do the hiring, so that's why they all look so good.
Yeah, it looks good.
To that end, technology is something that we're going to utilize. You seem to have your finger and have had your finger on the pulse of technology. AI is a self-learning tool as well. And so if I was going to ask you today that you would start your next company in the same space and industry that you're in, what technology or capability of AI would you think would be most valuable 6 years from now?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we don't even know what it would be 6 years from now. But I do think it's interesting about this. If you're familiar with when you do the prompt engineering, so you say act as a CFO, act as a CTO. So it's an interesting thing that there's things that maybe I took 20 years to learn, mm-hmm. that someone can say act as an entrepreneur, act as a CTO, and figure out a business plan. I want to make $5 million 2 years from now, and then back it up. And what would that be? Marketing, branding, and it's an incredible, it can already do it.
Yeah.
So I think that it's an interesting thing for us is working with clients. So you have AI coming, it's coming at such a strong level. So you know that it's going to make people so much more productive. So I feel that in terms of a new business, it's this understanding of consulting with companies with AI and utilizing AI, you're going to make more profits. You're going to make more revenue. Every person in your company is going to be more valuable. So how do you share it with them? Does that become they work less hours? So you have a 3-hour, work day. Is that they earn 3 times as much? Is it shared because the company's 3 times more valuable? So I do think there's going to be complexity there of how you integrate AI into the company, and then how do you make it beneficial both from people, because people shouldn't work 80-hour weeks, and then AI in the company is 10 times more profitable.
Yeah, it's interesting, which leads me to what I call the great middle-aged myth of being an employer. I believe, and I'd love for you to share your opinion, I believe there's a great middle-aged myth in companies today that most middle-aged mutant turtles like myself that run businesses, we have no idea how productive technology makes people. And so what's occurring is that the younger generation are so knowledgeable and powerful that they can not only do work faster than we can even imagine, they can do it better than we can even imagine, and they can have 3, 4, 5 jobs at one time, because middle-aged mutant turtles like myself have no idea how powerful they are and how knowledgeable they are. And I call it the middle-aged myth of employers today. Is my myth a myth, or is there some truth to the fact that a lot of the leaders in bigger organizations have no clue how productive these kids can be?
Yeah, I don't want to speak to what they know. Maybe they know, but I do think that there's so much that we can all do, and especially people are up and coming. I do think it's a myth where you hear Gen Z doesn't work hard. Millennials don't
work
hard.
That's historical.
It's just ridiculous.
Human nature, right?
Yeah, we always
go back to Shakespeare. They were saying these kids have it easy today, right?
Yeah, sure, true.
They're so entitled. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And it makes sense that it's, It's actually incredible what they can do. But I do think, to your point, is like, if the employers can really get the most out of it and then do it in a way that's mutually beneficial. So they're not saying like, oh, great, now you have ChatGPT, you can work even more hours, you can have even more output. Like, now the company's doing better. How can we share in that? What can we do? But I do think there's a lot of untapped potential. It always reminds me, if you know the story of Kodak, where it's like they made the disc, and, yeah. And then the CEO is like, hide the disc, because it hurts our film business. So obviously the film business is gone. So it is interesting to figure out how we can innovate and then both help the employees and the employer.
Yeah, smartest thing I did is I hired my most honest child, because then she's like, Dad, that only takes like 2 minutes. And meanwhile, the other kids tell me it takes 2 days.
Right.
I'm like, really?
Really? Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Save a fortune. Last thing, you have dealt in this space for so long, and myself having the playbook, I've done, like I said, thousands of interviews, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers. I'm always looking to see, and Napoleon Hill did this, a common denominator of successful people. And so you've been in the people business for so long, utilizing technologies to make humans more human, provide more options, opportunities, and touches of favor. Have you seen a common denominator that you would look for after JobBot gives the list of 10? Is there a common denominator that employers should look for, a characteristic that may be common of all successful, engaged, profitable employees?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a big thing that we look for is, I would say, somewhat non-traditional, just kindness and respect. Like, nice. How are they treating us? So when we're talking to people, that's how we like to speak to each other internally, but it's also how we treat clients and candidates. It's not always the case with recruitment firms, because sometimes that it's almost a little animosity with dealing with people. So it's like, when we're talking to someone, and if they come with gratitude, they have kindness and respect beyond the skills, that way when they get there, they're excited, they're enthusiastic, they're positive. If someone has a lot of negative energy, I feel like it is actually drain at the company. It doesn't matter. Like, if they're the most incredible software architect and their algorithms like so incredible, but if they're bringing down this negativity and bringing the whole team down, it actually really hurts the company. So it is something that we constantly look for, is this super energetic, positive person that also has the skill set.
Nothing like a top to miss. I always say the three things I find: gratitude, kindness, and then a desire that you must be what you can be. You can't teach that, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Heidi, for your insight.
Thank you so
this
much.
Has been incredible. If you're looking for someone or looking for a job, there's only one place to go: JobBot. It's led by an incredible entrepreneur. Thank you so much, Heidi Gollis, for joining me here. This is David Meltzer on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.